call at 906-635-5910.
Under attack, time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just gonna wait and see, don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. The time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll dance your fight for my liberty. Telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. No.
Hey, everybody, welcome on in to TGIF. Thank God it's Friday, February 6, 2026 edition. Your defending fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Well, I want to thank you guys. 173 text messages with I'm in for calls. I did not open any of them. I could see them on my screen, but when I went to my unread file, we ended up with 173 yesterday afternoon, late evening, actually, when I spoke with Jim Runstead, the chair of the Michigan Republican Party. As a result, he put me in touch with the Republican candidate for the 35th State Senate District, who's going to be running against Cedric Green, the Democrat fire chief from Saginaw, on May 5th in a special election to absolutely create gridlock in Lansing in the Senate. With the win by Jason Tunney, Republican, family man, businessman, this is going to be a phenomenal candidate. Well, we talked about hooking up with 10xvotes.com. I spoke with the benefactor, the founder of it, Greg Bourne, and he, or Drew Bourne, and he is going to be coming on the show on Thursday this coming week. Drew will be on with us at 10 to 10:30, and then at 11:30, Jason Tunney, the Republican candidate, will be here. And we are going to put together the ability to do these calls with 10xvotes.com's help, and we are going to be passing out placards information at the endorsement convention in Novi on Saturday, March 28th. Now, the interesting thing about this May 5th election, there's going to be 45 days of early absentee voting. Well, the absentee ballots are going to get starting mailing out 45 days early, folks, is basically March 21st, just a week before the convention. So when we get this information in the hands of almost 4,000 delegates coming to Novi, They will be able to share the information with their friends. They can do it themselves. We are making calls into the 35th State Senate District talking to Republicans and low propensity Republicans. 10xvotes.com has the ability to look at voting histories and be able to find us those Republicans who did not vote in 2022's last midterm election. This is going to be a game changer. This is absolutely going to be a game changer as far as getting out the vote effort and making sure every Republican that lives in Bay, Midland, and Saginaw counties gets out and votes on May 5th for Jason Tunney, T-U-N-N-E-Y. So we're excited. We're going to have a great show for you next Thursday. Again, Drew Bourne, the owner of 10x.com, and Jason Tunney, the candidate. 10 o'clock with Drew, 11 o'clock with Jason. Thank you for all those text messages. It proved to Jim Runstead that there are folks out there willing to spend a little bit of their time helping us win this seat and spinning the talking points of the Democrats on their heads.
Hear ye, citizens of Northern Michigan. Your Royal Chariot deserves the finest care. From Noble New Tires to auto repairs, Royal Tire has decreed smoother travels for all.
Alas, my trusty steed hath a flat.
And terrible brakes.
Fear not, fair knight. At Royal Tire of Petoskey, we fix flats, tame brakes, quell noisy exhausts, and keep your kingdom, car, roadworthy. All at prices that won't raid your royal treasury. Royal Tire and Auto Repair of Petoskey, where every driver is treated like royalty.
This is Justin Michael. From day one, our campaign has been about one thing. People, the families, workers, veterans, small business owners, and communities that make Northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula home. I'm running because too many people in Washington have forgotten who they serve. I've spent my life advocating for others, listening to their stories, and fighting for solutions that put people first. Our district deserves a representative who shows up, cares, and follows through on what they say they're going to do. It's time to start putting Americans first and Michigans first. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. Slim Fast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy of My Pure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
This is Kevin Kievsky, and I'm running for the Republican nomination for Michigan Attorney General. I'll fight for election integrity like no one else. Only U.S. citizens should vote, and I know how to secure our elections. No more fraud, no more doubts. Every legal vote will count. Delegates, endorse me at the March convention to restore trust in our elections, and together, we'll make Michigan red again. Paid for by Kevin Kievsky for Michigan, kevin4mi.com.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second segment, hour number one on this fantastic Friday, February 6th, Joining us on the line right now is Justin Michael. He's an announced candidate running for Congress in the 1st Congressional District. Good morning, Justin.
Hey, good morning, Randy. How are you?
We're doing really good, buddy. And I got to ask you a couple of questions because some stuff happening up here in northern Michigan, I haven't had time to dive into all these stories. I see these fleeting headlines, you know, Camp Grayling, there's a bunch of stuff going on there the congressman is involved in, and drones, and I just all kinds of crazy stuff happening. What have you been hearing out there in the 1st District?
Well, Randy, I appreciate you bringing that up. Before we continue, I want to share a quick story. I want to give a shout out to some of your listeners. Last week, I was up in St. Ignace, and I spent some time speaking to some of your listeners up there, and they really love your show. They said they're diehard supporters of your show, and they said how they heard about me was through this show and this program. So I want to give a shout out to them for listening to your show, but also thank them for their support and their encouragement up there in St. Ignace. Moving on from that. So in recent news, Northern Michigan was designated as a primary hub for military drone operations. And this process started originally in 2024, but really kind of amped up in July of 2025 when Pete Hegseth said, you know, this could be the area that they could train in. And what happened in the last couple of days is we were designated essentially as an unmanned aerial system testing and training site for the government. And we're going to be one of the top three hubs for that site in America. And it's an interesting take because a lot of our lawmakers have championed this. And they've come out in droves and said, you know, this is amazing because Camp Grayling is the largest military installation for training this side of the Mississippi. And the state has used it profusely as an area that they can attract a lot of different types of military training and military operations. But most importantly, our air-to-ground ranges that we have. And that was one of the reasons that Saab selected our area to develop their new multiple launch rocket system in Grayling, and they moved to Grayling and broke ground last year.
Sure.
Gretchen Whitmer and the congressman were there for the groundbreaking ceremony. But then, you know, we see another advancement in drone technology and our government's reliance or soon to be reliance on unmanned aerial weaponry. And the utilization of these air-to-ground ranges are extremely important. And if you've ever been in Grayling in the summertime, or even sometimes in the winter, the amount of firepower and ordnance that's dropped on those ranges is significant. And I can tell you this personally because I live about 13 miles from the impact area on those ranges in the Range 40 complex. So, sure. You know, it's pretty normal in the mornings to wake up to big booms and your house is shaking and the foundation shaking. And you're like, when you're growing up as a kid, my father being a colonel used to say to me, you know, son, that's the sound of freedom. Uh-huh. But when you're up close to, yeah, but when you're up close to levels, you know, it's a different thing because, you know, when you have 500 pound JDAMs that are hitting the ground, it's really, really causing a big stir and it's affecting the wildlife and the ecosystem up there. So, you know, as we become more weaponized in the defense contracting here, we have to ask ourselves some questions. And one of the things that kind of concerned me about this decision making is none of the local municipalities or even the people really got a say in that.
No, right? They didn't have any public hearings. There were no meetings. I don't even think they ran it by the county commissioners.
Right. And when you're looking at that, you kind of have to ask yourself, while we understand the importance, and I know I'm going to take some flack for talking about this in a different light, but my concern lies in this. This is an executive order that was done. And we know that executive orders can change when different administrations come in and say, yeah, we're not going to do that anymore, or we're going to change how operations are done.
Sure.
And I know that lawmakers have jumped on this and said, this is going to bring jobs to northern Michigan. You know, that's consistently what they say, or opportunities. And while I understand that there is going to be some economic uplift from this, we've seen what happens when the government pulls out of our communities too, and the devastation that's left behind. You know, in the 90s, we saw that with Clinton. You know, we had huge Air Force bases in Oscoda and Alpena. And when those, and even in the UP, right, K.Y. Sawyer. But when they sure. pulled out, it left a huge hole in our economy. And there was really nothing that they did to help stabilize those regions. And if you drive up and down the shorelines on the east side of the state, you can see the remnants of what used to be thriving communities and now are boarded up businesses. And while I understand that there isn't going to be a huge influx of troops that are coming in, you have to ask yourself, what are the environmental impacts of having drones? What about the local residents, again, that didn't have any say or autonomy, whether or not they even wanted these things to be in our airspaces? And when you're championing the perspective of, you know, northern Michigan is going to become this military defense hub, you got to start asking yourself questions like, who's driving these decisions? And I really find it interesting that the largest campaign supporter for our congressman in our district is the aerospace defense industry.
Uh-huh.
He also sits on the Armed Services Committee. And when you're looking at those things, you're asking yourself, well, we've had aerospace weaponry move in to the district last year with Saab. And that was a battle. There were a lot of people in the community that did not want that to happen. And the second factor is now we have aerospace drones that are moving into the district. And they're used, you know, in a way that is extremely challenging to the environment. You know, wildlife and the people that live here are going to continuously now have to hear the sound of ordnance being dropped. It changes the landscape of northern Michigan.
Yeah, and one thing about the drones specifically, Justin, I read another short article on it. The spying capabilities. So if they're out there testing those capabilities of these drones, so who are they spying on? Well, obviously it's going to be the folks in the Grayling area near the camp in the surrounding areas. I don't know what the range are on those things, but not only dropping bombs, but, you know, spying, that's a whole nother issue that nobody's really talking about.
Yeah. And I don't think they will talk about it. Right, the government hasn't been very good at transparency historically.
Right.
So I think you're looking at this from a perspective, and you know, you don't want to put the tinfoil hat on because you don't want to assume what those programs do. But historically, the government has definitely withheld a lot of information from the public regarding its operations in conducting intelligence and data on people within the sovereign borders of the United States of America. So when you're looking at the ordinance, you're looking at the potential impacts of the people. Is it also affecting our hunting and our way of life? And what I mean by that is this: when you got drones flying around, regardless if you're, you know, you're 500 feet above ground or you're 2,000 feet above ground, there is still going to be some kind of reference or noise factor that happens. And sure. Is that going to confuse or disrupt the way that people hunt? You know, to and from in terms of traffic, what types of drones are we talking about? Are we talking about larger drones? Are we talking about drone swarms? Are you going to be outside fly fishing and then 5,000 drones go over because they're training, you know, pattern formations or, you know, so you're asking yourself, what exactly are you doing? And because there is no transparency and there are no discussions regarding what those programs look like, is it going to be something they're doing at day and at night? How are they going to be doing it? What type of, you know, what type of implementations you're going to be using? How is that going to impact the everyday life of the citizens that live in these communities? Alpena, sure, Tawas, Oscoda, yeah. Grayling, Gaylord, Kalkaska. You know, they champion the fact that there are tens of thousands of acres of land that they can use for training. And we know that they tried to do the expansion of Camp Grayling at one time, and it came up for vote, thank God, and people were like, yeah, we don't want you to use our state lands for military training operations. You have your areas, keep them. And the people got to push back. But in this days, we never got an opportunity to even have those discussions.
Right, exactly.
Do you want drones flying over your communities every day? How does that impact you? You know, what's the ordnance drops going to look like if they're dropping ordnance? How is that going to impact wildlife, people's joy in fishing? I mean, there are some days, and this is not an exaggeration, that you wouldn't be able, if you closed your eyes, you wouldn't be able to tell yourself the difference of living in Mogadishu than living in America. Because the gun ranges are going off and the bombs are getting dropped and the impact of a lot of heavy artillery. So now you're adding drones to that scenario, potentially. What's the impact that you're going to have just living in general? And we never had that discussion or conversation.
Right.
And I think that's something that I don't think that that's fair to people, because people pay money to live in homes. They want to feel safe and secure in those homes. They don't want to go outside and have a cup of coffee and hear, you know, fire rain down from the sky and be like, wow, that's peaceful.
Yeah.
Well, go outside in your underwear and look up and some drone's staring at you.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, and that's the other component. Like I said, you know, spying capabilities and whatever else is going on. And then finally, like you said, who is pushing this? Who's benefiting from it? And obviously, just, you know, go to opensecrets.org and check out his campaign finance report. You'll see the numbers right there. I mean, I hate to call it what it is, defense. But it is.
Yes, over 200 or 300 grand.
And, wow.
And the same thing with the, you know, Slotkin and other people. I mean, they're tied in heavy with defense contractors. And aerospace defense is spending a lot of money these days, because that's where a lot of those government contracts are going. I mean, we just spent more money. We just passed it. More money in aerospace defense than ever before.
Yep. Absolutely.
And you're asking yourself, you know, are you being compromised in those perspectives? And I don't want to assume, and I don't want to point fingers, but it looks awfully interesting when you start seeing those numbers come in and you see how much people are getting paid for into their campaigns for those decisions.
Absolutely. And, well, you know, one of the things, Justin, I think people need to know about this information. Have you posted this on social media, put it on your website or anything?
No, I haven't. I haven't gone that route yet, because I'm still in the investigative phase on how that's going to impact our communities. And I'm really more concerned, as someone who owns property near these areas,
sure,
I'm really concerned about how it's going to impact our environment and our way of life. To me, that's the most important. I mean, you're never going to get around government moving your money or campaign contributions unless you completely ratify how campaign contributions are done. You know, people have their influences and the people that they know and the kickback systems. We've known that in government for a while. But my biggest concern, Randy, is what kind of environmental impacts are we going to have, and what kind of way of life impacts are we going to have? How is this going to change the way that I've grown up, or how I've lived and how my neighbors have lived? If our airspaces, I mean, we have A-10s and other aircraft that fly over all the time and drop ordnance.
Yep. You know, yep.
And so
it's a lot of big difference. If you guys want to go.